From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has just released a brand new record called Heartbreaker Please. It's Teddy Thompson. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
I mean, welcome in a way, I guess. Where are you physically right now?
Virtual welcome. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in Bed-Stuy.
And you have been there for quite some time. And I don't just mean every day over the last few months, but like almost 20 years, right?
Not in Brooklyn, but I've been in Brooklyn just for about a year and a half, but I've been in New York for 20.
What prompted the move to Brooklyn?
Partly financial, you know. I mean, yeah. I lived in Manhattan for a long time, and as with most people, we get pushed out eventually. And but also, you know, I live Manhattan, downtown Manhattan anyway, is not as fun as it used to be. So Brooklyn's a little more... I was going to say real, but that sounds so pretentious. But I mean it in the truest sense. It's just a bit more like there's real people walking around doing real things. Not me, of course. I'm not one of them. I'm doing fake things.
Your world there in Brooklyn has got to be vastly different than many of our experiences out here in rural Southern Oregon and Northern California, especially with the pandemic going on. How has home been for you as an isolation spot for the past few months?
I've been lucky. First of all, you know, I don't mean not to make light of it, but this, you know, being in lockdown is not that different from my everyday life.
Really?
In the sense that I'm used to spending lots long periods alone, and I'm used to essentially having periods where I'm doing nothing, which is kind of the life of the musician. It's very cyclical. So, you know, when you're not on tour, you're not making a record, there's periods of, you know, weeks, maybe even months when it's just kind of downtime when you're home. And I'm a loner anyway, so I've been okay emotionally and psychically on that side of it. I haven't sort of had too many freakouts at not being able to see and touch people. But, you know, as far as the location, it's pretty good, you know, because Brooklyn is a little bit more spread out where I am. It's quite residential. So we're not, it's not like we're Manhattan where people are living in tower blocks on top of each other and everything's very close. So I've been lucky. I have no complaints. I mean, it's been rough for everyone, but I feel like I've gotten off easy.
Right. And hopefully some light here soon at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You have been doing a combination of some publicly facing activities over the last couple of months, things to keep yourself engaged and connected with followers. You were, for a while, posting a series of Beatles songs that you were working up and sharing.
Yeah, I did. It's so strange to sort of look back at the at the 3 months that we've, or whatever it is now, that more than 3 months that we've all had. But yes, the first week, I think, when it was actual lockdown, when they said, you know, don't go out, I had a Beatles song in my head, and I thought I'll post that. You know, I don't know what came over me. I'm not that posty. but I did, and what happened was, you know, essentially I thought, oh, I know that song. I could post that just for something to share. And then I sat down to actually figure it out, and I realized that I didn't know it at all. Cause like most Beatles songs, you think they're easy and you think you know them, but they're not that easy. And you probably don't know all the changes and the weird bits. So anyway, it became a little project, and it occupied, you know, a couple of hours a day to learn a song and then post it. And it was just it was kind of a fun thing to do. Yeah.
Any gems that you discovered that you weren't that familiar with?
Oh, they're all gems. I mean, what was the one? I can't even remember what I started with. It's all a bit of a blur. I did "And Your Bird Can Sing," which is a song I really love from Revolver, which is probably my favorite Beatles record. But no, I didn't go far enough. I mean, really, I could have done a new Beatles song every day for the entire quarantine and probably still have plenty left over, but I didn't.
Yeah. One other thing that I saw you doing online was some by request songs for people, which was very sweet.
Yeah, I did that. That was, you know, in the following week or the week afterwards, people were very nice about the things I posted, the Beatles songs, and I got a lot. And it was right at the beginning when we were realizing that, you know, there's there were, and I was getting a lot of comments about essentially older people who weren't really in touch on social media, and who people were saying, "Oh, I wish my mum could see the song. In fact, I wish I could see my mum," you know, that kind of thing. And then also people, we were all talking about the healthcare professionals who were the only ones who had to sort of go out and go to work. And so I offered to make personalized videos for people in those two groups. You know, if you know anyone who's like, if you've got, you know, your mum is a fan of mine or something, but she's not really, you know, or grandmother even, or whatever it is, you know, someone who's not really social media friendly, or if you're, you know, if your wife or your husband is a nurse and they're a fan of mine and they, you think it might be meaningful for them to get a nice surprise with like a personalized video, then let me know. And it was nice. It was more of, you know, it was that feeling of thinking, you know, God, there's lots of people doing emergency work now, and feeling like, oh, you know, feeling a bit useless, I guess. You know, like, what can I do? And then thinking, well, okay, well, I know what I can do. This is the skill I have. So yeah, it might not be saving lives, but it might be able to help in some way. So that's,
yeah,
that's
for sure. Well, that's nice of you to do.
I thought so.
So, all right. So let's go back in time a bit, because I know the creation of a record is not something that happens overnight. It's usually months of writing and working up arrangements and scheduling studio time and graphic design and all sorts of stuff. So this new record, Heartbreaker Please, started a long time ago. And here's a date on the calendar, May 29th. That's undoubtedly when life is going to start getting busy for you with promo stuff and concerts and touring. And then the pandemic hits and you move ahead anyway to release a record in the middle of it.
Yeah. I mean, there were lots of conversations about that, and it was totally uncharted territory. So there was nobody to say, well, no, this is what we should do. This is what we usually do in this situation. So we just all talked about it, me and my manager and the record label, and we all just decided to sort of, we pushed it back a little bit just to sort of have time to, you know, think about how to approach some things a little differently. But yeah, essentially we figured that what's the difference really? And that it maybe if there is a difference, it might actually be favorable, because people, you know, essentially, maybe they'll be locked up, maybe they'll be listening to more music, maybe they'll be more excited to get something new from an artist that they follow because they're stuck at home with little else to do. And so that was our reasoning, and I think it worked out fine. I mean, obviously, it then becomes almost two separate events. The record comes out, and then the touring will come next year.
Right. Yeah, I think you probably made a good decision. I mean, based on what we've seen in terms of radio listening and online streaming, the numbers have jumped considerably because people are locked up at home and stuck and don't have a lot of other options. So
I think
good on you
out
for doing it. The record's got this really great bouncy retro pop vibe on it. And I want to talk more about the influence behind the songs that made the new record. But for today, you have pared them down to just an acoustic guitar. And I know you mentioned you wanted to start by playing the title track. What can you tell me about Heartbreaker, Please?
The title track is, it's a song about, a lot of my songs tend to be about me breaking the heart, doing the breaking. And this song is about being the breaky. It's pretty poppy. It's Heartbreaker. It's Heartbreaker, Please. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's great. How about that for a sales pitch? I'm sorry. I don't know. It's what, you know, once in a while when you're doing an interview and someone asks you a question about a song, you think like, I don't know how to describe music. I don't know how to just, let's just listen to it.
Well, why don't we do that while you play it? Teddy Thompson. Yeah. He's my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record out on 30 Tigers, it came out May 29th, is called Heartbreaker Please. Information can be found online at teddythompson.net. And here is the title track.
Here's the piece of my heart that you left at. Oh, that remains. You can break it again. Will you come back? Heartbreaker, please, will you come back?
A little mellower and a little bit slower than the record version. Teddy Thompson playing Heartbreaker Please for us today on JPR Live Sessions. That new album came out at the end of May on 30 Tigers. Teddy, I was shocked that it has been, what, like 9 years since you released a record under your own name.
Yeah, that is shocking. Shocking behavior.
Was that an intentional gap? I mean, I know you've been busy. You were producing and you were making records with some other configurations, but why such a long time to have a collection of songs you released under your own name?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a terrifying amount of time. But it feels like, I mean, honestly, if I hadn't been told that and I just had to sort of guess, I'd say, oh, it's been a few years. You know, it feels like more like 3 or 4 to me, which is strange. I don't know why that is. I mean, a big part of my lack of productivity, I think, comes down to me being extremely lazy and unmotivated and sort of lacking in confidence too. You know, like, I'm just not one of those people who sits down and does it every day and thinks that I'm great and that this is worthwhile. I struggle with that a bit. And so, and I, you know, I miss the record business the way it is now is very much, it falls very much onto the artist to do everything themselves, which, you know, primarily to motivate themselves, to write themselves, and there's nobody, you know, knocking or banging down the door saying, hey, you know, like in the old days when you had A&R people and publicists and record labels who were all invested in you, who would say, hey, we need the, how's that new record coming? We need to put it out in the fourth quarter or the first quarter of next year. And like, so there's nobody pushing me, essentially, is what I'm saying. And okay. I don't push myself too much. So, it has been a while, but also, you know, there's enough music out there. Maybe this will become my speciality. Maybe it'll be, you know, one record every 10 years and then maybe it'll seem like an event.
It's interesting that you'd say that, and I'm not sure exactly how to extract a question from that, but, you know, you mentioned there's an awful lot of music out there, and unlike the days when there was a tighter filter, you know, going through A&R for artists to ever see the light of day, anybody with a decent home studio can put a record out now. And as you mentioned, you know, you don't have pressure on you to be releasing a record every 18 months or something like that. So where does that decision come from to put something out to try to remain, I don't know if relevant is the right word, but visible maybe, you know, to remind people that, yeah, employed, sure. I mean,
yeah, no, I know what you mean. For me, there's a fairly, you know, which probably explains why it doesn't seem like that long to me. I mean, I have been doing other things, and but as far as my own songwriting and productivity, it just kind of feels I tend to have a few songs on the go. You know, I have songs that are in bits, and I have some songs that are finished, not many. And then when I'm touring, you know, I've probably had some of these songs I've been playing live for a good 3 or 4 or 5 years, maybe a couple of them. And then when you get to about 5 or 6 songs, then it starts to feel like, oh, it's probably time to think about making a new record, because that's almost enough. And then I sit down and try and write the 3 or 4 or 5 more that I need, or finish the half finished ones to get to, you know, 10 or 11, 12 songs. And that just seems to go by fairly naturally, but clearly it's not natural. Clearly I'm way behind schedule. But I mean, it's taking way too long, but it doesn't feel like that is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not sitting around thinking like, oh my God, it's been years. Like, I've still only got 8 songs. It doesn't feel like that at all to me. It's just like, oh, I've got the right amount of songs. Let's think about making a record. How would I do it? And who would I do it with? And also everything takes longer now, it has taken me longer because, it still costs money to make records, but there's not enough money to make records. So we all have to.
That's a sad cycle, isn't it?
It is sad. That's really a difficult part of making music that involves live musicians and actual recording studios with big rooms and good microphones and all that stuff is. We still have to make records in the way that they've always been made, which is expensive, but we're not making that money back from record sales. So we're always kind of in a deficit there.
Right. Well, you did end up with a collection of songs for this new record, and you described them as being influenced by the classic 3-minute pop song, something that you've said you have always been a big fan of.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I grew up with. I think we all did to a certain extent that we're all, our ears are all conditioned to hit to that roughly 3-minute length because of, it goes back to that's how much time could fit on one side of a 78, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's definitely what I'm, it sounds right to me and what I'm enamored of. So I grew up listening to that kind of music, you know, 50s music a lot, Buddy Holly and Chuck Berry and Everly Brothers, mostly American stuff, and, you know, some contemporary stuff, but that was all pop music too. I mean, you know, in England in the 80s and late 80s, pop music was very poppy, very 3-minute.
You know, one thing quality about, I mean, Buddy Holly, you mentioned Everly Brothers, is that even when they were singing about something sad, there was still a degree of joy in the overall sound of the songs. And I think that shows up on your record also.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's definitely something that I've always loved. And I don't know why that's so moving to me and such an ideal. But that exact thing of sad songs with a happy tune or a happy beat just seems like the greatest to me.
Hmm. Will you play us another one?
Sure.
All right, what's next?
I'm going to do a song called At a Light, which it sounds, if I was American, it would be At a Light, but it's At a Light. It's very different with the accent, At a Light.
This is Teddy Thompson on JPR Live Sessions.
Soon, when you're all alone at a light, you're gonna miss me. Our for a movie set, you're gonna find that I'm with you. Ooh. All it takes is a memory flick to remind, and it hits you. Your heart will sink, mine will think, and think and think and think and
is called Adelaide. How'd I do, American?
Very good.
Yeah. Sounded great. Teddy Thompson is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new record is called Heartbreaker Please, out on 30 Tigers. Information is online at teddythompson.net. You know, one thing, Teddy, I love about today is that you solo with an acoustic guitar brings this great kind of lo-fi demo sound to these songs. It reminds me of some albums that have come out recently, like Dylan demos that have been discovered and released on CD finally, and some early recordings from Willie Nelson, where you get to hear the formulative stages of the songs. I love
it. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, I like that stuff too. I don't know if it's just music geeks that like that stuff, if the wider public just think, why does this sound kind of worse than anything else?
I'm happy being a music geek myself.
Yeah, me too.
You mentioned that most of your songs tend to be about you or about your experiences, and this record really kind of came together in terms of episodes of turmoil. Is that a safe way of referring to some events in your life?
Turmoil might be a little bit strong. I mean, you know, I am English, so we don't really reach those kinds of emotional peaks.
Malaise?
That might be a little too world weary. Somewhere, you know, somewhere in between those two. Slightly perturbed. I'm slightly perturbed by your leaving me. It's like P.G. Woodhouse meets Hank Williams. I don't want to demystify my life or anything, if that's important to anyone. I mean, I feel like mystery is kind of a thing of the past when it comes to musicians and actors and everybody. Like, everybody's so accessible now. Anyway, I'm in no more pain than anybody else is. I just happen to write songs about it. Not very many, as we've established. But that's just, it's not. It's, I mean, I guess I'm sort of surprised when once in a while people will, you know, some very sort of concerned fans will ask me, like, are you okay and stuff. I'm like, I'm fine. It's just you don't know anything about me other than the 10 songs you've just heard, which are all, you know, about heartbreak. But that's what everybody's good songs are about. That's what.
Right.
So it's certainly not my everyday demeanor to be totally down and bummed.
I love the ones when a fan will ask if you're okay because of a song about heartbreak, and you discover that the heartbreak happened when the songwriter was 12. It was like at a summer camp, first girlfriend way back in the day.
yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, is that it's often there's a romanticized idea of the subject matter too. That people will just sort of take a snapshot of what you're doing right now and from the album and be like, oh wow, so he broke up with that person, and like, wow, that's all about that. But there's very often, there could well be one of those songs could just happen to be in that batch, but could be about your first girlfriend from summer camp.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned you're not a particularly prolific songwriter, and you have described yourself often as a bit of a perfectionist. Is that what keeps your output down?
Yeah, probably a little bit. Combined with the laziness, but yes, the laziness is paramount. I don't have a lot of energy. I don't know what it is. I've always been this way. I'm slightly, I was going to say slow, but lethargic, a little laid back. Laid back, but very anxious. It's a strange combination. I think there's definitely something to that. I think there's, it can swing, the pendulum can swing wildly. I mean, there's definitely part of it is, this doesn't seem good enough. If I just write, if I just polish off this song today, like, oh, I don't know, is that really good enough to do something with? I don't really believe in it. Maybe I should wait. And then there's definitely a feeling of, some kind of responsibility too. I think I definitely have some kind of innate feeling that because of my parents and where I come from, this is not conscious. This is just, I just have this feeling that this is probably true, that I'm sort of loath to just throw things out and let them go, because I think I have some duty for it to be at a certain level.
Mm. A lot like our world in broadcasting, you've got the opportunity to sit in a studio and do a ton of editing, and you can edit until you are literally, in the grave. But there's also that live broadcast aspect where you can't fix, you can't go back. And when you're on stage, does that perfectionism dissipate a little bit because you can't fix things?
Yeah. And actually, I'm not really perfectionist when it comes to my own performance. I'm quite good at being, even in the studio, I'm quite good at being loose about my own performance, mostly just because I've learned from experience from doing it, is that I'm better when I sing live or live-ish. I sing a song, I do maybe three vocal takes of a song and that's it. And then it doesn't get better. It gets much worse. I'm a live performer. I'm better that way. So, live is great for me, and I don't, you don't have to, nitpick about things. But when it comes to making records, I'm good. I'm pretty, free about my own performance, but then I get bogged down sometimes with the details of the rest of the music, and just indecision. It has a lot to do with it too. Being a producer is all about decision making, and I've learned that from doing it with other people. But it's harder to do for yourself.
Okay, so we're looking at the calendar. Everything beyond literally tomorrow is kind of fuzzy. Do you have any concrete plans for what you're going to be doing next month or a couple of months from now, or maybe even a year from now? I mean, you mentioned finally getting out on tour to support this new record.
Yeah, well, I have some tour dates that are scheduled now in the UK, and those are January and February, and then also some supporting dates with John Grant in March, I think. So it's all next year, and then the US stuff we haven't nailed down yet, but that will also be next year, and obviously later next year. So yeah, but for the rest of 2020, I have nothing to do.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for taking time to do this with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the record's fantastic. Teddy Thompson is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The album's called Heartbreaker Please, out on 30 Tigers. Information online, teddythompson.net. You're going to wrap up with Brand New, yeah?
Let's do it, yes.
I got a brand new car, gonna take me far away, and I know that it's time, and I know that you're fine, but it's gonna be hard to leave you behind. I got a brand new girl, she is my world these days, and she is so good, and she tells the truth, so I do that too, as much as I can.
One's called Brand New. Teddy Thompson is my guest today, playing live for us from his home in Brooklyn. The new record is called Heartbreaker Please, out on 30 Tigers. The website, teddythompson.net. Teddy, thanks again for doing this. It's nice to chat with you.
You too. Thanks a lot.